11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals.
God, I love that theme tune. Hello, it's Lee Phelps here. Pete Farrow's on the line. Hey, Pete.
Hello.
For the Championship version of the League podcast, where we will look at six featured matches, two of them televised, and Pete will give us his best bets in each of them, plus we'll have a nap at the end. Our sister podcast features Sam Ashu from the 72.co.uk. He's already recorded and given his nap, so I'll read that one out. At the end of this podcast, you can download them both at the same places. I'll tell you that at the end as well. Let's start off with Brighton versus Millwall. Friday night, 7:45, this game. The odds see Brighton at 10-11, the draw at 5-2, and Millwall at 3-1. Plenty of offers on this one as well. Headline offers, Darren Bent to score and Brighton to win 3-1. Lee Gregory to score and Millwall to win at 7-1. And the match result and four or more goals in the game alongside the match result and both teams to score prices right at the top there. These two teams are in the doldrums. Brighton are in the bottom three, 18 points, and just 2 points ahead of them. In 20th are Millwall. Brighton last won on the 4th of November when they beat Wigan 1-0 at home. Millwall last won on the 25th of October when they beat Cardiff at home. They've both had a few draws in the meantime. It's not like they're on a terrible losing streak or anything. One of these two teams will be eyeing up a 3 points here, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely, Lee. I mean, you look at this and it really is, I think, an intriguing game because you're looking, like you say, Brighton have won just two games since August. Millwall have won just one game since the last game of August. It has been a difficult time, and they're both off the back, really, of difficult performances as well. Brighton were summarily dispatched by Derby, which, you know, fair enough. And Millwall were dispatched by Borough, so again, fair enough. But you know, Ian Holloway came out after that game and said it's possibly my worst day in football with their performance against Borough. They were three down incredibly quickly. They lost the game 5-1, of course. And, you know, 4-0 at half-time was a pretty bad place for them to be. But, like you say, the amount of draws in recent football matches is I think crazy when you consider it. You know, if you look at Millwall, it's four of the last five away from home. Brighton, generally, we know they love a draw, but they did lose to Fulham before that Derby game. And really, my bets in this game come down predominantly to price. Because I appreciate Millwall have won just one game since August, but Brighton have won just two. Now, do you want to back a team who've won twice since August at 10-11?
Nah, not really.
Not a chance for me. This is what, ultimately, sometimes my argument doesn't come down to price on the podcast. It comes down to what I think will happen. And sometimes it's a weird little Frankenstein's monster of both. Because on this occasion, you know, Ian Holloway will be demanding a response. Brighton, you know, Sammy Herpier's talked about needing to turn it around and quick. I think he's actually in a bit of trouble, Sammy Herpier, at the moment. And Ian Holloway has really, really, really been pretty vehement about his players and about that performance. The other thing to worry about is Brighton's back line, you know, there's no Gordon Greer expected, which I think is a huge thing. I think he's a very, very good centre-back. The man they spent all the money on up front, Sam Baldock, he's not available either. And it just doesn't quite add up. Whereas if you look at Millwall, they'll get possibly Lee Martin back, although there's a little bit of possibly about that. Nicky Bailey's going to be fit. Danny Shitter will come back into the side and strengthen that back line as well. So Millwall at 3-1 in this game are a huge price, I think, just in terms of, in comparison to Brighton's, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, complete sense, yeah.
The way to play this for me, considering the amount of draws, considering everything that we've had recently, and I think considering where the game stands, it's a draw no bet. 7-4 Millwall. Get it on to 7-4. If they win the game against the side in Brighton who can't get going, brilliant. If they lose it, that would be incredibly rare for Millwall to A, lose an away game at the moment where they're drawing a lot, and B, for Brighton to win a match anyway. Of course, it's rare, I suppose, for Millwall to win one, but you are getting the draw, of course, in there as well. You'll get your cash back. You could play the plus a goal at 8-11 if you want to try and guarantee yourself some profit with a draw as well, but if one team's going to win this, I would err personally with Millwall because I think they can improve. If I was to look at the prices and think what was better, it would be Millwall 2. So 7-4 draw, no bet Millwall.
Very good. The second of the TV games is a 12:15 start, and it's Middlesbrough versus Derby, 5-4 Borough. The draw is priced up at 11-5, and so are Derby. Derby County, top of the tree, 38 points, 2 points ahead of Middlesbrough, with a just a one goal better goal difference as well than Borough. Derby have got a big game looming actually as well after this one. They've got the home tie on Tuesday night against Chelsea in the Capital One Cup, which is obviously a big game and on the telly as well. So a lot to look forward to. You know, that 2-0 defeat against Leeds, no sign of the socks up syndrome striking again. They just got straight back on it, didn't they? Beating Brighton 3-0. Middlesbrough had a little bit of a sticky patch with 3 straight draws, and then they smashed 5 past Millwall with that hat-trick from Jelavossen. What a game this is, Pete. Once we've got a great game at 12:15 on a Saturday. It can be a bit drab, these games.
Yeah, well, the last time Borough were on at this time, it was that Leeds game where they'd feel hard done by not to have taken anything from, really, let alone not taking the win. I mean, it was of course that Albert Adoma goal that was wrongly disallowed, and they've certainly looked very, very good, haven't they? Both of these sides have looked very, very good. I think the price on Derby is a little kind at 11-5. I think it is quite interesting, but I wouldn't back it. I think this game is a nailed-on draw. First and foremost, you've made a really good point. They've got, of course, on Tuesday, that Chelsea game at home. And even though the league is so much more important to Steve McLaren this season, he's a very good cup manager. Don't forget, the best success he had with Middlesbrough was in cup competitions, League Cup finals, you know, which, of course, they won against Bolton. Going off to the UEFA Cup at the time and having the phenomenal run, he's a very good cup manager. He's an astute cup manager, even though sometimes he just throws on 6 strikers at a time, which is what he did when Middlesbrough had their charge towards the UEFA Cup final. But still, a very, very good manager. His record, his record last season against Borough was, you know, quite interesting. Won one, that was at home. Lost one, that was away. And I still think here this game's got draw written all over at 11-5. I don't think it'll be a boring draw, and that's why the match result, both teams to score and a draw at 16-5. Is very, very nice indeed. There is so much attacking talent on display here. That Vorsen hat-trick you mentioned the other day. Martin, of course, has been in there. Fine Fettle recently for Derby too. A draw is not bad for either of these sides. Middlesbrough won't have their manager, Aito Karanka, on the touchline. He'll serve his match ban after the Blackburn incident. So you've got all of this, but these are two incredibly well-matched sides. They are two sides who I think will actually be 1 and 2 come the end of the season in whatever particular order. But if I had to decide, if you were saying, Pete, nail me down to a winner, I'd suggest again that Derby were too big a price, and that the draw no bet again would probably be the way to play Derby if you were looking to try and find a slightly more sort of expansive bet into it. 5-4, the draw no bet Derby, possibly. But, you know, this should be a fantastic game. Yeah. I like the draw at 11-5, though.
Yeah, full betting coverage of that on In Play Radio from 12 noon, live on Saturday the 13th with Dave Kellner, Gav Pozdrowski and Ollie Pimlott as well. So plenty to look forward to that. And you can follow Pete's tips through and the In Play ones as well. The 3 o'clock kickoffs then, Leeds versus Fulham is where we'll go first. 17-10 Leeds, 17-10 Fulham, and 21-10 the price for the draw. 1 point separates these two teams. Leeds are 16th, Fulham are 18th. And the form looks, I mean, when you look at the form, whichever website you use, it looks very similar actually, Pete, doesn't it? You know, the way they've been going. What, you know, Fulham lost to Watford, Leeds lost to Ipswich, Fulham beat Brighton, Leeds beat Derby. The Leeds lost to Blackburn, Fulham lost to Brentford, Fulham beat Huddersfield, Leeds beat Blackpool, there's a draw with Blackpool for Fulham, and Leeds drew with Charlton. Identikit teams.
But I think a pretty simple outright here. Leeds have to be backed. They have to be backed at 17-10, in my opinion. Look at the two games they've lost, away at Blackburn, away from home. Away at Ipswich, fair enough. Most people lose away at Ipswich. They've beaten Derby and Blackpool, so they've beaten the best team and the worst team in the league. And to be honest, I watched that Fulham game against Watford. And I appreciate, you know, Bettinelli was sent off. I appreciate that Watford played superbly, and you've got to give real credit to Watford for the way they played in that game, because it was exceptional. But still, Fulham did look abject. They looked utterly abject. They had no idea how to respond as goal after goal for Watford flew in. They were superb. The Deeney hat-trick was massive. And I appreciate, again, you know, down to 10 men, your keeper's gone off. But no, Leeds with back-to-back home wins, you know, and looking decent at home, to be fair, as well. against a side who just looks so abject. Certainly, if I watched the 90 minutes of Fulham played, and I like Fulham as a club, but I watched the 90 minutes of Fulham played, I could not back them the next game if they were playing a League One side, let alone, you know, and Leeds are an okay championship side. The other worth a bit of a look here is Mirko Antenucci, who's been in very good form at Elland Road, bagged against Blackpool, got a brace, of course, the brace that beat Derby as well. He's 7-5 any time, which I think is really, really nice. And despite Fulham's struggles away from home, you know, they get 2-3 odd draws back-to-back against Rotherham and Wigan. They do score. You know, they won at Brighton. They lost but scored against Brentford. So I'd be having a look at Leeds and both teams to score as well, Lee, at 16-5.
Very good. Next up, let's have a look at Bolton's home match against Ipswich. Bolton are priced up at 17-10. The draw is 21-10. And Ipswich are 17-10. I'm not a big surprise. It was the William Hill Christmas do on Thursday night. The traders have just shut down the same prices for these games, haven't they? Ipswich are second. Bolton are 17th. 15 points separating these two sides. But the form, to be fair to Bolton, has picked up dramatically over the last five games. They were in all sorts of bother, weren't they? They'd won at Birmingham and they'd beaten Brentford, but they were the only two bright spots in a run of nine other defeats. Well, now, in the last five, they've beaten Cardiff 3-0, they beat Wigan 3-1, drew at Blackpool, beat Huddersfield and drew with Reading. You would say, I suppose, Pete, that those teams aren't exactly pulling up trees themselves, some of those.
No, I am really interested in Bolton here. I love Ipswich. I think they're an excellent side. I think at home is where the quality really is. But I can understand, to be honest with you, why the traders have priced it the way the traders have priced it. Four back-to-back home wins at the Macron for Bolton. Like you say, beat Brentford, which is a phenomenal result to do it in the way they did it. Hit three past them, hit three past Cardiff, three past Wigan. Obviously beat Huddersfield in that game. We backed them to beat Huddersfield in as well. And they are looking dangerous. And Ipswich, away from home this season, when I was looking at this, I was actually a little surprised. Just three away wins this season for a side in second. Just goes to show you how good, generally speaking, their home form is. And look at the three teams they've beaten. They beat Wigan, who at the time were in real trouble, and, you know, still in real trouble now. They beat Blackpool, who are bottom, and Charlton, who are a decent side mid-table, and to be fair to Ipswich, that's a good result. But it took them to the 90th minute to do that. So I actually really like Bolton here at 17-10. I kind of ummed and ahed about this, and I sort of went, yeah, but Ipswich are a side I never really want to oppose, but do you know what? Yeah, I do want to oppose them. I think 17-10 is very, very good for a side in the kind of home form that Bolton are in, against an Ipswich side who aren't quite as good away from home as you would actually have thought. Now, the other way into this is the anytime goal scorer Wincast. Now, Craig Davies is absolutely the man for this kind of market here. Craig Davies to score any time and Bolton to win is 7-2. Now, 7-2 sounds big, but did it land in their win against Brentford? Yes. Did it land against Cardiff? No, it didn't. But did it land against Wigan? Yes. Did it land against Huddersfield? Yes. So your 7-2 would have landed in three of the last four Bolton home games. And I think that's a really, really good way in, that 7-2. Don't just play the any time, combine them. Look, I appreciate if Ipswich won this, no one would go, well, that's a surprise result, would they? Because Ipswich are a crack inside. They're a crack inside. But I think there's enough evidence there to want to take the punt on Bolton. And I think with Craig Davies' current form, there's certainly enough room to want to take a punt on him.
Yeah, fair enough. Rotherham versus Nottingham Forest next up. Rotherham are priced up at 9-5. It's 13-8 for Nottingham Forest and 21-10 the price for the draw. In this one, the South Yorkshire team are just hovering above the drop zone, 2 points above it, in fact, on 20 points from the 20 games, the minus 10 goal difference. Nottingham Forest in 10th with 29 points from their 20 games. Rotherham, they're going the wrong way down the table, Pete, aren't they? You know, the last win was on the 17th of October. They've only had two wins in the last 15 matches in the 16 matches, in the Championship. They lost to Swansea, of course, in the League Cup before that. And they hadn't started the season off too badly. It just didn't last very long, did it?
No, the problem's been scoring goals for them recently, hasn't it? Scored just one in the last six, Rotherham United, which has got to be a real issue for Steve Evans. He's gone out, he's brought a lot of loan players in, the likes of Wootton and Tom Lawrence, of course, who apparently had a fantastic game the other day and is a real talent as well. I mean, he's the man on loan at the moment from Leicester. And if you want to have a little look at Tom Lawrence anytime, he's 14-5. Emmanuel Ledesma can do crazy things as well. He's a very talented, mercurial type of player. He's 5-2. He's also gone in on loan. But at the moment, it's hard to want to put your sort of neck on the block and back Rotherham, isn't it? You know, struggling for goals, generally speaking. Drew against Blackpool in a game that they would have liked to have won. Lost narrowly to Birmingham at home. Losing to Middlesbrough is fine. Good result against Leeds and the 3-0 draw with Rotherham. On the other side of it, you know, Forest, not pulling up trees, are they? But they have won two of the last five games that they've been involved in. One of them was away against Wolves, which I think personally is a good result. They obviously beat Norwich, but then, you know, struggled against Birmingham and drew against Charlton. But I think Forest can improve, whereas at the moment, I think Rotherham are struggling to do so. And they're not scoring the goals to want to back them. That's the ultimate thing here. That's what really makes me worry about having any kind of money here on Rotherham. Because, like I say, I'm positive that really Forest can improve. I just don't know that Rotherham at the moment have it in them. What I really like here is Forest by a goal. Now, obviously, in the handicap market, in play, it's called Winning Margin Live. We always talk about the handicap markets because they used to confuse the living hell out of me when I first started punting. But it's tie, Rotherham plus one, Forest minus one on the match handicaps at 16-5. Now, the reason I've done that is because despite the fact that Rotherham haven't been winning games, barring the result against Reading and against Borough, they've been tight, haven't they? You know, Brighton, 1-1. Yeah, then you had the 2-3-0s. But then 0-0, 1-0, 1-1, 0-0. The one thing Steve Evans is clearly trying to do is have them be very, very tight. So if you actually look at that, I think it's very, very strongly in favour of the buy a goal at 16-5. If Forest are going to do this, they're going to do it narrowly, in my opinion.
Very good. Let's finish off, shall we, with Brentford versus Blackburn. Brentford are priced up at 13-10. Blackburn are 11-5, and so is the draw, 11-5. Brentford fifth on 34 points. Blackburn seventh on 31 points. So two teams looking the right way up the table. They have got the worst goal differences of any of the top eight teams, these two, with plus five Brentford, plus three Blackburn. When you look at the rest, who are, you know, plus 19s and plus 18s, that's maybe where their deficiencies fall, but there's nothing you can't grumble at Brentford's home form of late. Since losing to Norwich back in the middle of September, they've won five and drawn one. The draw came in against Wednesday, beating Wolves, Fulham, Derby, Reading. As for Blackburn, away from home, just been draw machines, really, haven't they? I know they beat Forest, but other than that, they've just been drawing games time after time, Pete.
Yeah, I really, really want to back Brentford here. And so I'm going to.
Do it.
They've been incredible. I mean, they really have been sensational this season. One home loss this season to Norwich. And they've had some silly losses, you know, here and there mixed in. You know, the Huddersfield loss was great for Huddersfield. The loss at Bolton was great as well for those two clubs. But Brentford are looking phenomenal. It's almost exactly a year this week, I think, that Mark Warburton became the Brentford manager. And obviously he continued the work that Uwe Rosler had done, but he's continued it and improved on it as well. He's done an incredible job there. He really has. And the amount of goals they're scoring at home as well, you know, the four they put past Wolves, two against Derby, two against Fulham, three against Reading, obviously that 0-0 with Sheffield Wednesday mixed into the group as well. We've obviously spent a lot of time looking at Andre Gray on this podcast, which I think is quite right. But, you know, I think it's also worth having a little look at one or two other names in the market. I mean, you know, Pritchard is a player I really like anytime at 2-1, because the reason I'm looking at these different players is I think there could be rafts of goals for Brentford here. Diego Araga just got a new contract extension, 5-1 for this guy. They are such a strong side. And Blackburn have been living on the edge a little bit. You could argue they were a bit lucky against Middlesbrough. They played quite well in the game, to be fair, and maybe a draw was fair. But the way the goal came, you could say it was a little bit lucky for them. They lost to Wednesday. They should have possibly beaten Millwall. They should have beaten Brighton. And they've not really been capitalised. I mean, the one thing you could say is a good win at Forest and a fantastic draw at Ipswich. But it doesn't quite, again, fill you with confidence. Now, what I'm going to do here is instead of playing the Brentford and both teams to score, which I do actually like at 3-1, I'm going to go Brentford and overs instead. Now, it's quite simple, really. It's 21-10. The reason I'm doing that is that I do think, you know, certainly if you look at Blackburn Rovers away from home this season, they've been scoring goals. I mean, I think it's 8 of the last 9 they've scored away in, 9 of the last 10, something like that. They've been scoring in a lot of away games and brilliant. But Brentford have got so many goals in their pocket that I think if they get rolling, they could get enough. And I'm not quite confident enough, despite the fact that Brentford again have been conceding 3 of the last 5 games at home, that they're going to be a team to back. This is a side, Brentford, that's a bet to back, I should say, rather than a team to back. Brentford, you know, they beat Fulham, they beat Wolves, Reading, and of course that fantastic win over Derby. I find it hard not to want to back that Brentford victory at 13-10.
Very good. Nap time. I'll tell you that Samashu on the League 1, League 2 version has already picked his, as I mentioned before. He went for both teams to score and over 2.5 goals in Cambridge versus Shrewsbury, one of the games that he previewed. I'll tell you the price in a minute because I forgot to write that bit down. I'll get that while Pete's giving us his nap in the Championship.
You got the table ready?
No. But I have got time this afternoon. We're recording this now about 1 o'clock on Friday. I have set myself an hour to do it. It will be available.
Good.
Promise.
I think Leeds are the nap of the week this week.
Right, wow.
I really do. 17-10 is big. Now, it might not feel big. It might not.
Where's this going?
As I've said before, it's an over-18 podcast. But I what I saw of Fulham was such utter just lack of confidence, the capitulation. And I know Kit Simons will have spent every single moment since that game trying to sort it out, and that's great. But, you know, it takes a bit more experience than Kit Simons has got. He's got experience in the game, of course, and I think he'll be a very good manager, and I don't think Fulham are going anywhere this season. But you look at their away form, which, yes, most recently is capped with that win over Brighton, but other than that, just one other win away from home this season. Leeds, you know, it's a great deal about coming together at the moment, the club, with the stuff that's going off field again, going on off the field again, I should say. They beat a really poor team and a really good team at home back-to-back. The Elland Road faithful are really getting behind Neil Redfern. And more than anything, I just don't want my money on Fulham, because as good as Watford were against them, and Watford have deserved every bit of credit for that result, I can't back a team I've just seen play like that when they're the same price as the home side who won back-to-back home games and are looking good. I'm taking Leeds at 17-10.
So Leeds 17-10 for Pete. The price for Sam's bet, which was both teams to score and over 2.5 goals, Cambridge versus Shrewsbury, 13-10. Mine is a straight both teams to score, and it's in the Norwich Huddersfield game. 80% of Norwich's home games have featured both teams scoring, and 70% of Huddersfield's away games have featured both teams scoring. I've put them together, and it's come out at 8-11, which is gives you just under a 60% probability. So I work out that that's more likely to happen on the stats than the odds tell us, so that's why I've gone for it. Incidentally, I've worked out the treble, because I've got a good feeling this week, and it comes to 10-1, that treble. So fill your boots, people. I'm not saying I'll win, but you know, you'll have good fun watching it lose. Pete, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Lee. I enjoyed it greatly.
Yes, you can hear Pete on In Play Radio, inplayradio.co.uk. And you can also hear him next week when we do more of the same. Thanks for downloading this podcast. Make sure you check out the League 1 and League 2 version. They're both available in the same places, audioboom.com, williamhill.com/podcasts. You can subscribe on iTunes and you get all our football podcasts delivered straight to you. Or go to the72.co.uk, the podcast in the top right-hand corner, and you can have a look at all the different articles they provide for the three football league divisions. Thanks once again, and if you're having a bet on any of the matches this weekend, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.